The story of humankind's relationship with God can be described in quite binary terms. We experience either not a care in the world or immediate panic. There doesn't seem to be much time in between. However, as fast as panic is capped, spiritual complacency settles in, and God's touch is pushed to the far reaches of our memory. How quickly we imagine we have little need for God when all is going well and according to our plans. We even believe any good fortune we receive is pretty much of our own doing. Perhaps we might characterize spiritual complacency as that period when, seduced by the charms of this world, we put our faith life on autopilot. Disappointment and hopelessness, friends, are never far away once spiritual complacency takes its grip. Well, Israel, during the time of Amos, is a nation quite impressed with itself. The economy is rolling along, the military is strong, politics is stable, and people have plenty of time to just lie around. Amos, and in fact all the prophets, continually remind this people a rebalancing exercise is forthcoming. The Lord who keeps faith forever will necessarily bring down the mighty and lift up the lowly. The present looks comfortable, but of course the children of Israel are again about to experience exile. This time at the hands of the Assyrians. And so what do we learn from this? We learn that the trap of complacency lulls many into apathy and a false understanding of God's kingdom. Messages from every direction, even today, tell us a people so mighty as we could hardly have any need for God or the church. Some would even have us believe that humankind is somehow in charge. Not true. Spiritual complacency, friends, is not faith, and surely invites disaster like a sedative that prevents our awakening. St. Paul speaks to Timothy about this threat and urges him to do anything but rest on his laurels. Run away, Paul tells him, from any impulses that sprout from spiritual complacency. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. There's no relaxing for Paul, and he urges it be the same for Timothy and, in fact, believers of all generations. Fight the good fight and take hold of eternal life with urgency. In today's parable, we recognize the consequences of spiritual complacency. Humility and struggle have marked Lazarus' path to Abraham's side. But for others who have pursued wealth, possessions, glamour, and power, the path has led elsewhere. The world's things simply cannot be called upon to accomplish what is expected of them. They cannot reach into the spiritual, and if they be depended upon, will even hand us over to spiritual complacency. Such materials are taken from us in only the time it takes to exhale one breath. Spirit places very little value on our bank accounts and vehicles in the driveway, or the number of friends we enjoy on social media. The lesson Jesus offers today encourages us towards a humility that opens a way deeper into the mystery of God, to a sacred poverty that orients us to God. Whereas complacency opposes the communion of peoples, tolerates injustice, and is anti-human, it is humility and faith who hold the hands of sacred poverty. We are reminded in Luke's Beatitudes how the fortunes of so many are completely reversed in God's paradigm. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are you who are hungry now. And we hear upon the lips of Mary the beautiful words, "The hungry he has filled with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty." We are the hungry who come to Holy Eucharist to be filled with word and sacrament. It is destiny of both the rich man and Lazarus. They should have their conditions reversed. In life, the rich man was gowned in royal purple and ate the finest foods, but in death, he's been dropped a few notches and begs Father Abraham, "Send Lazarus, whose sores were once licked by the dogs, to refresh me with the moisture he might carry on the tip of his finger, not even a mouthful." This rich man no longer even has the dignity of a name. He's now simply a dead rich man, begging as Lazarus once did in life. Yes, friends, the Lord does hear the cry of the poor, but the complacent don't cry. They can't imagine there's any problem until it's too late. Each of us, no doubt, recognizes some connection with the rich man of our gospel. This rich man is every one of us who grow complacent, leaving the gospel work to be done by others. We live out rituals, but our hearts are frozen shut, unable to see the image and likeness of God in our brothers and sisters. We don't see any need to animate more fully our baptism and Eucharistic natures. Spiritual complacency reduces us into takers and hoarders, not particularly concerned with the plight of others. But that's not the people of St. Peter's Parish, who know the power of Jesus' holy and sacred meal and come not only to remember, but to join. And we are also Lazarus, marginalized with blisters covering our hearts. Bring these hearts to Jesus, and he will bandage our wounds and teach us how to bandage one another. Brothers and sisters, when we do this with great love, we climb from out of complacency and transfigure our lives and communities into the true and living body of Christ. Amen.